Well, thank you so much for having me here today. I am excited and a little nervous to share some of my story with you this morning. So Pastor has asked me to talk a little bit about what God has been doing in my life for the past decade or a little bit more, in the way that he's really been shaping my heart toward this value of multi-ethnicity. And so I am going to say that about a month ago, Dr. Johnson shared a message with us, and at the beginning he said that his message was not going to be personal, it was going to be informative, and today we're going to do the opposite of that. This is going to be very personal, just my story about what God has been doing, maybe a little bit less informative, but I think that it's important to share our testimonies. In order to encourage each other's faith. And I have to say, the first time that Pastor asked me to share this, I cried through the whole entire thing. And the main reason was because it really brought my attention to all of the ways that God had been working in my life for so long. And also, I'm a crier, so it will probably happen. So I want to start by giving you just like a little bit of background about myself, mostly to say that there was like nothing special about like me or my circumstances that really like instigated this change. So I grew up in the suburbs of Minneapolis in a white middle-class family, and I was very privileged to attend a high school that I loved in the suburbs that was relatively diverse for the setting that we were in. I graduated in a class of about 550 students, and 53% were white. So we had quite a lot of diversity in, you know, race and ethnicity and language and also like financial circumstances. So we were a Title I school, meaning that we had a, you know, certain percentage of students who were living in low income homes. So although I grew up in this kind of environment where I was very used to being around lots of people who didn't look like me, it was also the case that in my education, we were tracked, starting from quite early, and tracked meaning like sort of separated by some perceived measure of like academic potential. And because of this, despite my graduating class being only about half white, this was not true of the classes that I was actually in. And so most of my close friends and the ones who I saw every day were primarily white and did look more like me. So although I was in this kind of environment that was ostensibly diverse, I didn't really have any personal knowledge of what the lived experiences were like for people who did not look like me. So I graduated from high school and I came to Iowa State, where God really started laying a foundation for some of these changes for me that I absolutely did not recognize at the time. So I came to Iowa State on a George Washington Carver Scholarship, which is a scholarship meant to increase the diversity of incoming class. And as part of this scholarship, we had to attend a like diversity class in the first and second semesters of our first year. Coming from my high school, I was very nervous that going to this class of, you know, supposedly some of like the most diverse students in my incoming class, that I would be like the white girl who stood out. And this was not the case. Indeed, the class actually looked quite a lot like me. And so this was something where I realized that my new environment in college was going to be a lot more homogeneous than it had been in high school. So in that class, we learned about a number of things for me. A lot of it was for the first time regarding systemic racism in our country. And I remember very clearly the day that I first learned the term white privilege. And I am not proud to say that I was not accepting of this idea. I was very defensive. And, you know, part of that was, I was like, what do you mean? Like, we're all white in here. I'm white. Everyone else looks white. You know, what is this supposed privilege that you're talking about? And I will say that my opinions about that didn't change for quite a long time. And so in that class, we also watched the video Race, the Power of an Illusion, which those of you who've been with us in BCC for a while is the video that we watched in the What Lies Between Us series. And, you know, I watched that my freshman year of college, and although I wasn't, like, actively embracing these ideas, I was very interested when we rewatched it with BCC, like a decade later, how much I remembered and how many like very specific things from that video I remembered and how they really had formed some of the foundation for ideas that I didn't embrace until later on. Yes, ma'am. So, God is good, even when we don't know what he's doing. So also at Iowa State was when I first started studying linguistics. As Pastor said, I'm a linguist, so I'm interested in the study of language. And pretty much all of linguistics is really founded upon the idea that all languages, language varieties, dialects, accents are all good and all equally good and valid and complete and complex. And this was a new idea to me. I, you know, was someone who was interested in language. I have fun editing our documents here. I like grammar. I'm interested in these things. And the water that I swam in up until that point said there's like a right way to use language and then a whole bunch of other lesser ways to use language. Speak. And, you know, learning to embrace this idea of language really all being good was the first time that I really had to deconstruct an idea of something that I thought was just, like, right, like what everyone thought, you know? And so that was sort of a starting point for me. And so I continued to study linguistics. I went to grad school for linguistics as well, where my focus of study was in second language acquisition, so how adults learn second languages. And in grad school, you read a lot, like a lot. And because this was my area of focus, a lot of the reading that I was doing was around the experience of non-native speakers of English or second language learners of English in the United States. And this was kind of the next part of my change, my like mindset change, in realizing that, you know, we as a society really like to use language as a reason to separate ourselves from each other. And that, you know, that we draw lines, that we discriminate around language. And starting to feel like, this just like doesn't jive with my new feelings about all language being good. So my mind had started to change. I went to graduate school in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I lived in Salt Lake for 4 years. And for the last 3 years that I was there, my roommate was an elementary school teacher. And she taught at a school on the west side that had 100% free and reduced lunch. It was like 90% low income, 84% non-white. and about two-thirds of the students were English language learners. So the largest population of students at the school were Hispanic and Spanish speakers. And the next largest group were Pacific Islanders who spoke a variety of languages from those areas. So my friend was a teacher there. She taught sixth grade at first. And so I, volunteered some. She needed help or whatever and wanted someone there to read or different kinds of things. And so I would go. And then one of the things that we realized we really needed was interpreters for parent-teacher conferences. So although about two-thirds of the students were English language learners, and so their parents spoke languages other than English, they did not have any interpreters available for parent-teacher conferences.
Yes, ma'am.
And fortunately, I studied Spanish in college, and so I was able to, volunteer and help my friend talk to the parents of her students. And this was a really wonderful experience for me, an experience where I started to see things that, again, just kind of like broke apart my ideas about, what the world was like. So as an interpreter for the parents and my friend, I met a parent who had been the principal of a school in her home country, and now she worked multiple food service jobs because she didn't have the, right American qualifications.
Yes, ma'am.
I also translated for a parent who just broke down because she was really concerned that her child had a learning disability, and she didn't know if anyone was noticing what was going on, and she didn't know how to ask, who to ask and how to ask that people be paying attention to her child who did not just have a language problem, who did not just have maybe like a behavior situation, but she was very concerned that no one was looking into this. And he was in sixth grade. And so I was just really grateful to be able to be there and help her convey that message, and was very humbled by that. The thing that broke my heart the most in my experience working at this school was a fourth grader who, they were a second language learner of English. His parents did not speak English. But when he came to school, he was encouraged to speak English only, and was not encouraged to continue to speak his parents' language. His parents worked a lot in order to keep food on the table, and so he didn't see them very much, didn't spend a ton of time with them. And by fourth grade, he could not communicate with his own parents because he had...
Yes, Lord.
He had lost access to his native language.
Yes, ma'am.
And this was devastating to me. So my mind change really started becoming a heart change as I saw the effects of the way that our policies, especially regarding language, especially in the schools, really were affecting kids, were affecting families. And so everything really culminated with Election Day in 2016. So I grew up, as I said, white middle-class family in the suburbs. We were an quote-unquote apolitical family. Politics was like something that happened far away out there that didn't have anything to do with me. And that's kind of how I felt about it all the way through college, honestly. And all of a sudden, I was in a place in an elementary school, little kids, who were very concerned as we approached the 2016 election. And the day after the election in 2016, so again, she would have been teaching sixth grade, so it was sixth graders who I was seeing the most at the time. She came to school, my roommate went to her class the next day, and the kids were just falling apart. Kids were crying at school, they couldn't focus on anything, and many of them expressed like real concern that they would go home from school one day and their parents would be gone.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And at this point, I was like, okay, the buck stops here, right? This matters that, you know, our policies matter. The way that we are treating each other matters. And my mind has changed. My heart has changed. But, like, what can I do? And I didn't know. And I didn't know for a long time. So I graduated from grad school. And I got a job back at Iowa State. And so I moved back here. So one of the things, I'm not like great at transitions, but one of the things that had been especially difficult about moving to Salt Lake was finding a church. And so coming back to Ames, I was like, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to worry about finding a church at least, because I went to church in undergrad, and so I figured that would be fine. I could just worry about all the other things that were stressful about moving.
Yeah.
So I came back, and I returned to the church that I had gone to in college. And pretty quickly, I started just feeling, like, uncomfortable there. And I want to say, you know, we at BCC, we know that the different churches around Ames serve different purposes, and they are all, you know, working towards God's kingdom in different ways. So, you know, there was nothing, like, wrong with this church, but it just didn't feel right for me. But finding a new church is hard, and so I was really dragging my feet on trying to find something different. And this was 2018-2019-ish. You may recall that in 2018-2019, the federal policy was that we were separating immigrant children from their families and keeping them in pretty inhumane places near the border. And this was something that was very concerning to me at the time, that I was thinking about a lot, that I was really connecting to the students who I knew in Salt Lake City who were so worried about being separated from their family.
Yes, Lord.
So in June of 2019, at the church that I was going to, the message was around James 1:27, which says, "Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And I was like, amazing. We're like finally going to talk about what's going on and connect, you know, Jesus' heart to what's going on here. And the message ended up being about the importance of adopting children from violent countries in Africa. And, you know, it's important that we care about our brothers and sisters all around the world. But in that moment, I was really enraged. I was really upset that this was happening right here in our backyard. And we were acting like the problem was far away. And I left, and I cried a lot, and I was like, okay, God, I hear you. This is not the right place for me, and it's time for me to do something different. So I also want to say that I wrote a very strongly worded email, and the pastor who had spoken that day responded to me and asked to meet to talk. And we did, and we had a really wonderful healing conversation where we understood each other's points of view. And I harbor no resentment against that church or that pastor or any of that at all. And I knew I wasn't going to go back. So, long story short, I went to a random event at Harvest Vineyard and met our very own darling Justine. And she told me about BCC, and I still dragged my feet for a long time, and many months went by, but eventually I landed here, and I'm really glad that I did. And it was really wonderful to be a part of a church where I felt like my values were reflected in our body and in the ways that we worship and in the ways that we engage our community and in the things that we care about. And so I'm very, very grateful for this church. And coming to BCC was not the end of the story for what God wanted to do with me. And he continues to work, and he continued to work. And I want to talk about one example of the way that coming to BCC has just helped me have more opportunities to grow in this area. So in 2020, George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis, my community, where my family is, and a lot of my friends are, and it felt very close to home for me, as I think is true for a lot of us here. And so I was again feeling, you know, emotional, passionate, and motivated, and I was like, but what can I do? What can I do with all of these feelings? And so we were talking about this in my discipleship group. Plug for discipleship groups, they're great. And Angela Shaw was in my group at the time, and she had a lot of ideas for what we could do to be involved in our community. And one of the things that she mentioned was the CASA organization. And CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate, and it is a volunteer position where you advocate for kids in the foster care system. So I want to give like a little backstory as encouragement to all of you. So for the 4 years that I was in Salt Lake City, God poked me about foster care over and over in strange and obvious ways, like literally billboards. And like radio ads, and it would come up, whatever, at church. It would come up, as soon as I would forget about it, it would come up again. And at first, I just like completely ignored it. It was like, you know, whatever, that's unrelated to me. But as it kept happening over years, I was like, God, like, no. I am not in a position to be thinking about foster care. I have no experience with foster care. I'm a grad student. I have no money or time. And I am single. And parenting is hard. Like, no. And so he kept poking me, and I kept saying no. And then I moved back to Iowa, and the billboards went away. And I thought that was maybe over. And then Angela gave us this big long list of ways to get involved in the community, and one of them was to not have to be a foster parent, but to be engaged in this community that God had been poking me about for years. And so it was really no question. It was like, okay, I hear you. You're telling me something, and that this is a way that I can get involved. So, yeah. I've been a CASA for about 18 months now, and it's been a really great experience. I've been so blessed by it, and it feels really great to be participating in my community in this way. So my story's not over. This is just, we've come to today, and this is where I am, and there will be more, I'm sure. And something that's been really interesting to me is seeing the way that God has taken one little thing, one perspective shift from, you know, all languages and varieties are good, and has expanded this idea for me to include other things. You know, all races are equally good. All ethnicities are equally good. All financial levels, God takes care of all of us. And, you know, more recently, he's been challenging me in the areas of ability and body injustice, and it just keeps getting bigger.
So
God took this little crack in my heart, and he just, like, continues to crank and crank as it gets bigger and bigger. And I also want to say that, you know, I didn't instigate this change. I wasn't, like, in high school being like, God, change my heart on justice. Like, no, now I do. Now I do. But that's not how it started. And I say that as encouragement that God wants us to be his heart in our world, and he is working on people. He is working on people who don't know that he's working on them, who don't think this affects them, who doesn't think that this is their, like, area of calling. You know, like, I wanted to study linguistics because I think language is cool and fun. I wasn't looking into nursing or social work or whatever, but God took my interest and made a way to make it about people. And so he is working. And I want to give one final encouragement, and that is that, you know, I didn't even see all of these things God was doing until Pastor asked me to tell this story. And so I want to encourage you to look at your life and try to put together some of the pieces that God has been working on for you, and just to strengthen your faith, to encourage your faith, and to see the ways that he has been working in you. So thank you so much for letting me share with you today.